Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, plural today, because Ben decided to join us, Lucy Halden.
And Benjamin Halden.
He actually
Carl,
is
do you
back.
Do you have a small violin?
No, I've got...
Hey. See, the crowd goes... Wah.
No, because actually, myself and our whole podcast audience enjoyed the last two episodes with just me, and I did not stop talking straight for an hour.
Difficult task to do is be a single host, so well done.
But I'm back. What?
Also,
he's back and he's tatty.
I got a tattoo. Look at that. Look like jailbait.
Do you know what? As far as tattoos go, Ben's tattoo is.
I'm trying to get on the camera there.
I said to Ben, he went from a 12 out of 10 to like a 14 out of 10. Like when Ben initially said to me, and this is a good 8 months ago, I'm going to get a sleeve. I thought.
Slightly
actually,
different.
I didn't say I thought. I said. No, you're not. And he's like, no, I really want, I want just meaning on my arm. And I said, will I be involved on the arm? He said, yes. I thought, I can maybe.
It's not finished yet, though.
Yeah, because I'm not bloody on it yet.
Shall I give you the breakdown of the meaning really quickly? Because it's kind of
because I was 100%. I was going to say to people, it's not a normal tattoo.
No, you can't see that much of it probably on the camera, but you'll be able to see it on my Instagram. So the whole concept is the unbreakable mind. So... At the bottom, we've got here a head, which is essentially slashed in two. And then below, we've got the brain, so the unbreakable mind. And within that as a centerpiece, we've got 54, because this symbolizes the 54K I completed for the world record that I got last year for the longest farmer's carry with £100 for men's mental health and becoming one of the biggest charity and fundraisers in the UK. So that's what that bit is all about. And then we sort of scoot on up to the top bit of the arm, and we've got a lot to do with the... anatomy, heart, and then the mind again. So it's how your physical and what you do with your body affects the mind.
And
then at the very top, we've got the swallows. The swallows indicate change or positive effects. So essentially, putting positivity into your head means that you can't hold negative thoughts, because essentially the equation of how to be happy is simply the absence of unhappiness. So if you surround yourself with positive things and positive thoughts, then it's really hard to hold on to anything negative.
And it is a very, very nice tattoo. Even my mum doesn't love tattoos, even though Meg, I think, has about 20. And I was on FaceTime to her and she's like, where's Ben? I was like, he's getting a sleeve. But when she saw it, she really appreciates the art, because tattoo is art. I think that is art.
Minimalism, it's called, it's like...
Minimalism art.
It's also, I think it's called...
Stunning. Geometric.
Geometric. That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Carl.
Geometric. But yeah, it's not finished, is it?
I was so ill after it.
Tattoo flu,
yeah, real thing.
I want to get my tattoo before London Marathon, but I'm scared I'll get tattoo flu, so I'm not going to get it.
You'll be all right.
Even though it's a singular word. About this big. You don't know, though, do you? You don't know what reaction you might have to the process.
Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know, I'm sure she's, for the past two episodes when I've not been here, probably banged on and on and on and on.
I've, Cal.
That she's done the speed project.
Cal, I've not, have I?
No, you know what? You've been quite good about it. I think we knew that this episode was coming, so we wanted to make sure it was a special one.
To be fair, it would have warranted the time and energy spent talking about it, because it was an unbelievable event. And that's what today's episode is going to be dedicated towards. We are interviewing Lucy Halden on the Speed Project. And For those who don't know what the Speed Project is, please firstly tell us all about, tell us what the Speed Project is.
Well, I had never actually heard of the Speed Project, and it's been going for, I think it this was the 11th year it's been happening. And it is a run that is a relay run that starts in LA on Santa Monica Pier, and you run all the way to Vegas. There's no spectators, there's no rules, and you plan how you get there yourself as a part of your team.
As the crow flies. As the crow flies. I mean, it means you can get there however you want. You
as the crow flies.
I've never heard that phrase before.
Never. I was like, I don't know what that means.
You look very confused.
I really didn't know. And it's, depending on what route you take, it'll either be 340 miles or 300 miles or longer, depending on which one you end up choosing to do. The OG team, which was what our team was made up of, is four guys and two girls. You could enter a team of just girls. You could enter a team of just boys.
They were called freestyle teams.
Yeah, freestyle teams. You could enter more than six, I think a lot of the freestyle teams were. And that was basically it. We started in Santa Monica Pier and we ended up at the Vegas sign.
I kind of compare this to, so if you're unsure what OG and freestyle team means, OG team would be like football. You have 11 players and that's how you play the game within the rules. And freestyle team is you can have more players. You can have guys and girls mixed. So that's the way they define the categories, just so that it's fair and you're competing against people who are in the same category of you with the same amount of team players running across. But not only that, you were in a very special team.
I was in a special team. And even now, I think, and it's really weird, I think it's like the biggest thing from like a Lucy Davis Fit brand collaboration perspective that has ever, ever happened to me. And I was on Nick Bear's team for BPN, which was a really big deal for Nick to reach out to me. He essentially just dropped me a voice note on Instagram. It was, I sent it to you two immediately as soon as it happened. I can't remember. It wasn't that long ago. Like it wasn't loads of time to be able to prepare, which is actually really good that I just have been doing enough training volume to be able to run that ultra. And he just reached out. He said, do you want to be a part of my team? And I thought, I literally can't say no. And we'd only just got back from our honeymoon. Oh, no, it was, I knew we would have just got back from our honeymoon before having a week to then fly back out to LA to be a part of the Speed Project with Nick. So the team, do you want me to explain who team was? So myself, Lucy Davis Fit, we had Lauren and Mitch, Joey, Ken and Nick. All their Instagrams are on my Instagram if you want to check out who they are. But that was it, our four guys and two female teams.
Yeah, there is going to be a full movie out.
Film.
As well in June.
Yeah, I don't know if I can actually say the specific date yet, but it is in June.
There's a film premiere thing on for it as well. It's going to be really, really cool. So just in case you're wondering, who the hell are these people? It's also going to be a movie. I'm sure you'll be able to watch at some point.
Yeah. Nick, by the way, Nick Bear. I didn't even say at the start of the, in case you weren't aware, it was Nick Bear who had reached out in the first place. And for me, I've always said for the past couple of years, he is the one person in the fitness space that I do look up to. There's not, like, my dad and Nick Bear are my two idols. So to actually be able to meet your idol and run alongside them and have that experience was really, really crazy for me. Mm-hmm. And even you said that as well, because you respect him a lot.
Yeah, I think it's strange because we watch a lot of his YouTube videos, as probably do a lot of our listeners. He's in the hybrid space. He's a super motivational, inspirational figure doing things in America that we look up to as well in terms of podcasting, running of his business. So I think whenever you meet someone like that, it's always a little bit daunting. And I've met a lot of people in the fitness industry before who, in the nicest way possible, don't live up to expectations because they create two different personas for themselves. But Nick is 100% the person he is online, is in real life. Super authentic, super down to earth, but also one of those people who you can really sense his military background from when you meet him, and the way that he runs his operation, the team, logistics. He's just drilled in. And it's really refreshing to be around, to see, and really motivating to be around as well. So being able, from my perspective, just to be able to be a part of it in some way over that week was just amazing to be able to to see. Just give a real brief outline so people can understand the magnitude and how much bigger the team went on this. Most of the teams doing the speed project, there might have been a car or a van and people traveling around in a team of six. We were a team of 28, was it, or 20? It was a big fucking team.
19 or 20 people, yeah.
In two RVs and two trucks. Mm. It was like wacky races. There was just things going on everywhere. There was people running. And the way that Lucy didn't tell you before, the way the speed project works is that there's the six runners and you can split the distance up however you want. So some team would split it up a mile apiece and you'd tag in and tag out so that you'd have a bit of rest. What did you guys go with as a strategy for the speed project to kick off with?
We all sat down before the speed project and decided to run in a particular way. And do you know what's really interesting? Before this, I kind of had in my head, it's an ultra. Ultras are slow and steady and chill. I didn't really take into account the word speed project. I just thought, because I said to you, I was like, it'd be fine. I'd be maybe running at a 5 minutes, 5:30 pace for each leg. It'll be really nice. It's going to be a great experience. We then decided that we're doing 3 mile segments. The order was Nick, Mitch, myself, Ken, Joey, Lauren. And that was the order throughout. The order never changed. We did 3 mile segments. To all my UK people, because I was just as confused, it's about a 5K,
yeah.
4.89K. So we did that for probably the first 10 hours or more, 10, maybe 14 hours. We then did a different route, the Powerline route, which is off-road, sand, horrendously hard. We had to switch to 2 miles because it became really, really difficult. And then the last 40-mile stint into Vegas, we did 1 mile segments. So we did 3 miles, 2 miles, 1 miles. But the plan was always to do three and then more so just see how we go. But it was not a 5 minute per kilometer pace or 5:30. The first one that I did, it was at like a 4:10 pace, which is really fast for me. Like it was honestly,
it's almost a 20 minute 5K, by the way.
Sprinting. And then
in an ultra.
I touched Ken in and then I kind of stopped, said to Ben, I was like, that's a little bit too fast. And he was like, yeah, it's quite fast. Let's slow down a bit. Next one, 4:15. Yeah. And it was just it just continued. And I averaged out at like a 4:20 for I think it must have been 10 of the 3 milers. Yeah. As soon as we went into the sand and into the depths of absolute hell, it was really awful. Like we weren't even really clock watching. It was more so just to see when that 2 mile segment was up. And then for the mile segments, we sprinted for dear life. I sprinted so much. I thought I was going to pull my glutes, my hamstrings, everything, because nothing mattered except sprinting to get there. So it wasn't a leisurely jog.
It wasn't your normal ultra.
It was not an ultra. Wouldn't even class it as.
Just from my perspective, that. I've been to ultras before and watched ultras, and it's like watching paint dry because it's just, for the spectator perspective, it's not the most sort of.
Thrilling.
It's not the most thrilling thing to watch in the world. But this was actually really exciting because it was a tag team, so there's lots of energy. Every time someone's coming off from their leg of the running, they're going, oh yeah, I did this time. And then the next person's like, oh, I've got to go in and do it. And you're tagging each other, there's a lot of energy. People are running way faster. And the other thing that happens, good or bad, is that sometimes along the way, you'd bump into other teams. And what this then meant was you could be on a really long stretch of road alongside another team. And what that then means is it becomes really competitive and people stop sticking to strategy because it comes impulsive and emotional because you know you're running next to someone. So what happened at one point is, I think you decided you've been going back and forth for long enough with this other team on day one. And then I think they might have swapped the order or it just fell into place that, what's Mitch's second name? Adams.
Mitch Amons. It's either Amons or Amons.
Mitch Amons, by the way, is like
the best guy in the world.
He trialed for the USA Olympic marathon team last year. Yeah. That's how good he is.
What was his marathon time, didn't you? Someone tell me.
2:16.
What the
2:16, yeah. He is an absolute animal. He's a freak. And anyway, they're like, yeah, we'll just put Mitch on this leg. And he went out. This is, by the way, they're probably 40, 50 miles into an ultra marathon. He ran a 5K in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Which is
what the fuck is that?
So he was running.
I will never run that in my, not fresh in my entire life ever.
No, because that, his average per kilometre pace will have been three minutes or just sub of 3 minutes per kilometre. It's like 2:59 to 3 minute per K. And I remember him tapping me in and we've got a video of it. You know, the video?
Yeah.
We'll get Kyle to pop it on the screen where he taps me in and the speed that he approaches me. I just thought, well, that's really fast. Like, yeah. Because I didn't know he'd done that time until like later on when he said, and I thought, oh my God. And then he is so impressive, and his energy. And this was the massive difference regarding the team element to solo running, because I found the Speed Project hard. Like, it was difficult for multiple reasons, which we'll go over. The stopping, starting, and the running fast really affects your legs in different ways, like the cramping. My hamstrings blew up pretty much after the third one because the hills were mad, but you're kind of running at speed. So you're burning your legs and you're doing these hills and it's all a bit crazy. The fact you have five other people relying on you is the biggest motivator I've ever had in my life. Like, so many times when I'm facing the other way and nobody can see me, I had tears running down my face and I knew Nick's watching me. They're watching me in the car behind. You cannot stop. There's literally no question. And I really, really wanted to stop on so many different occasions. And you just keep running because you're kind of detaching yourself from the situation and looking at it from a bigger perspective and a bird's eye view, that you're not actually doing it for yourself. You're a part of a team. So you need to come together and push through whatever you're thinking. So I tried to think to myself, if I was running on my own, it's like London Marathon this weekend, I'm on my own, there'd probably be moments where it's really hard and you could stop. Whereas with like the Speed Project, I'm like, I will move every single second because I'm doing it for other people. And it was almost that detaching from reality and almost like you're not doing it selfishly for just you. There's so many other people relying on you.
I feel like we just dived over a million places in that short space then. The Mitch bit in terms of tactics was really clever at that point, because it then separated you from the other team and then you get back to strategy again with run on the road. One of the things you went into was recovery. I think we talk about recovery a lot, but during that type of race, recovery was really important. And if you weren't staying on top of recovery in between your runs, when you're getting back in the RV, you were going to be fucked for your next segment. So just discuss some of the things that you were doing for recovery in the RV throughout the 2 days, which you found really helped before then going into your next block.
Yeah, the recovery was really weird because it's not a normal race, is it, to stop and have an hour and 20-ish or an hour and a half between all these 5K and 3K segments of fast running. And as I said, my hamstrings, I don't know what happened, but they just blew up after the third one. And the pain was so deep, like in, you know, your bicep femoris, like in your hamstring. So I'd put the boots on, like get back in the van, I'd down a whole thing of electrolytes. I'd try and have a little bit of food, which is really hard because I'm not the best at eating solid foods.
Makes you feel a bit sick, doesn't it, when you're doing?
Just, and Ben was like, you need to eat. I was like, oh my goodness. But Steph was, Nick's wife was making pancakes and she was absolutely amazing. And she kept making hot food and giving us food to eat. So it would be, have your electrolytes, go back in the RV, sit on the bed, put the boots on. I don't know what they're called. Just like the big recovery.
Compression boots.
Compression. I've never ever worn them before. I don't even know if they worked. I think it was a placebo in my head.
I think they're moving a bit of blood flow, a bit of lactic through the legs, definitely.
Yeah, I had no idea if they were working. But after every round, I'd put the boots on for 20 minutes, have the electrolytes, have the food. And that was it. That was my recovery. I'd take off my trainers and put joggers and a hoodie on, and Nick was like, you're the quickest person who gets changed out of their running kit. I was like, I just need to detach and try and think, okay, you've done a run, you're going to recover, and then you'll get changed again, like footwear, and go back into a new run. So psychologically, that was the process up until we went off-road. And the RV felt like luxury. So we're two RVs, three runners in each, crew split between two RVs and two Jeeps. We were in the RV so we could recover, we could chill. It was great times. We then hit a roadblock. Like the road was just, it was closed.
About 10 p.m. on the first day.
Yeah, so it started to get dark. Bit windy, bit cold, bit miserable, really sketchy as well, running along the highway.
We've just gone through a town where Nick got chased by dogs at this point as well, wild dogs. That was probably the biggest hazard in terms of the run, was those wild dogs there. You were,
coyote,
I think, supposed to be given a whistle and then some pepper spray to be able to hit the dogs with, because obviously the dogs have rabies and things and stuff as well. And they're not like your normal house dog.
Almost like a,
like a golden retriever. They're
big. Like a non...
Yeah.
Like not a pet, but kind of guarding the house kind of dog. Yeah, Nick. Do you know what I said to Nick? I was like, thank God that was... Honestly, that was me. Gone.
Yeah.
Like I'm off in the bushes with those dogs, because I would have absolutely crumbled. It was one of my really big fears of coming across wild dogs. I'm not good at dogs in the UK on a leash. And we hit this roadblock, and it was just a bit like nobody had planned for that. Like it was our route had been blocked off, and we had to go onto this off-road section. So immediately Nick was like, get all your stuff. We're getting in the Jeeps. So it was about 10 p.m., wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I just grabbed like a couple of bars, like a little jacket and a beanie and a head torch. Mm-hmm. And then went, didn't even get water. Like I thought, oh, it'll all be in there. We quickly went, the RVs went a different way. You went round because the RVs can't go off road. Mm-hmm. We're then crammed in these Jeeps. So bear in mind, Nick, Mitch and myself crammed in a Jeep. And then the other ones in the back one.
With camera kit and food.
Oh my God. But like minimal, like we thought we'd only be there for like maybe a couple of hours. We were off road until 4 o'clock the next morning. And it was honestly, I don't even think we ended up filming that much. I've got a few little clips that we can show you, and you can kind of see the terrain. You know, when people book an experience of Jeep off-roading, and they're kind of going down cliffs and they're going up the side and it's on its back, and that is what it was like. And
it's a roller coaster, honestly. I've never seen anything on the video. I've never seen anything like bumping up and down. So I can't even imagine what it was like to be in that position where you're getting in back from your run. You've been running for a whole day. You're bombing it. You're tired. You're hungry. And then when you want to have a little sleep, you can't, because you're getting thrown everywhere.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Push back into these, because that was the thing. So in the RV, you could put your legs out straight. When we got back into the Jeeps, we were just sat. So we were crammed in the Jeeps, and we had to put blankets on either side of the Jeeps because it was so rocky. We were like smashing our heads and elbows into the sides.
How long was this for?
So it was from 10 o'clock until I think we saw you at 5 a.m. the next day.
Yeah, long shift.
And it was awful. And something even more awful happened to me halfway round, didn't it?
We won't go into that, but yeah, I think we're skipping ahead.
No, that's part of the journey though. That was when it happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. That,
I thought it wasn't until later.
No, that is literally that night section, which was really hard, by the way, guys. We didn't have a lot of water. We didn't have supplies. We got lost.
Explain to people as well, though, why that happened in terms of the RVs not being able to go on the road. And the terrain that you were running through, it's not like you're running a road. Imagine Hills of Ice, if everyone's seen that. You're just running through mountains with no one, nothing, no roads in sight. You're just running through mountains. Explain why you were running through that route and what it was called.
So when the road got blocked off, and yeah, at the start, there was two different routes that you could take. There's a 340-mile route and a 300-mile route. The 300-mile route is something called, well, the one we had planned and mapped out on Strava and Garmin, the power line route. The other one, which is 340 miles, obviously it's 40 more miles, but you don't go off-road. And this is a really interesting thing, because you want to get there as quick as possible, but do you have the capabilities and the Jeeps and the team and the crew to be able to handle that off-road, because it was so spicy? We obviously chose the powerline route. And where this road was blocked off, we essentially jumped on the powerline off-road route an hour earlier than expected, or a couple of hours earlier. So we're going off-road for 7 hours, and for two of them we were completely lost. Completely. And as Ben said, it's pitch black. We only had head torches. It was really, really, really sketchy. As in, I thought we were going to tumble off a cliff. And I just felt really, not unsafe, but I don't enjoy fast cars. I've never done off-roading in a Jeep. And I was really terrified. But then you had to get out and you had to run like as fast as you could and then get back in. And this was the moments where I was crying quite a lot on the running segments because nobody could see me. It was pitch black. Running in sand is really, really hard because your feet just slip. And it probably got to, we weren't really clock watching, but it probably got to about 1 o'clock. And I thought I had wet myself because it was just, I don't know, the jumping around, hitting your head on the roof of the Jeep. I'm not 100% sure, but I thought I'd wet myself. I was kept joking, being like, oh my God, I've literally pissed my pants. Like I kept getting out, going to, but it's pitch black, so you can't see. And then we met you guys, the two RVs, in this like parking lot before we went on to the next power line route, which was what, 80 miles mm-hmm. left to get through this power line section. We'll really add pictures of this so you can kind of see what the power line route is and how off-road it is. And it's through Nevada desert as well.
I had no idea what it meant by the power lines, by the way.
The actual...
Are you literally just following, like when you see power lines alongside the motorway, that's what you're following?
Yeah, that was the map.
No road.
No, it was like I don't know what you call it. Like it was just a desert, wasn't it? It was just a derelict desert. And we were so happy to see you guys. It was because we didn't know where you were or timings. You kept phoning and I'd text you being like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like I can't. And we saw you and I was like, oh my God, thank God. And then as soon as I saw you and the sun was rising and it was really pretty, we'd loaded up the vans, we got changed. As I went into the RV and it was light, I looked down and where I thought I had wet myself, I hadn't. I'd come on my period and it was more, I was in like quite a lot of shock.
You were, yeah.
I was really tired. By the way, guys, we didn't sleep for the whole of this duration. So I've been awake for, what's like?
Over 24 hours because we were up at 4 a.m. the previous morning to start.
Half two. Yeah, to get there. What is that? So half two till...
6 a.m. maybe, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. Yeah. So yeah, good 28 hours.
Maybe like 20 hours or something. We've been awake for a long time. So I was really emotional. The reason I was so emotional that I came in my period is because I've not had a period for 5 years. I've been on contraception. I came off last August to have a natural cycle again. I've been waiting for it. And we kind of joked before with Steph's wife and things. Like, does anyone need anything? I was like, no. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I won't come on for ages. Like I'm kind of waiting for this to happen. It happened in the desert, midnight, awful. And I was like, I kind of lost my head a bit, didn't I? I was like rational, like throwing stuff around. Luckily, one of the girls actually had two tampons.
Was that not Steph?
No, because Steph's pregnant. One of the other girls
I'm sure she went to the shop for
you. Yeah, yeah. I was mortified. And if you are a woman listening to this, I had a bit of blood on my thighs. Really uncomfortable. Thank God I had red shorts on, would you believe, which is so mad. And it was just awful, like the whole thing. And then I had about 5 minutes, had to get changed. And then we were straight back on power lines till 35 hours. And that was one of the most, I don't know, I just felt really gross. Hey,
when you all got out of the truck, I just looked at you all. That was probably the time where you looked drained physically and emotionally and mentally. And we all knew that you guys all needed cheering up and all picking up. So we'd been to the gas station, picked up a load of more food and drink. And me and Steph had made some hot noodles for everyone.
Oh, they were good.
We knew you hadn't had hot food for ages. But we hadn't slept through the night, really, either. Maybe got like half an hour, just because we were worried about what was going on. We didn't know where you were. That was the kind of the first time in the event things hadn't gone to plan.
Completely.
Didn't know. I mean, I guess that's kind of the exciting thing about the project is that things don't go to plan. And you've got to try and engineer around that, especially for your team, because you were known as a team of misfits. A lot of the other teams were teams of runners, whereas you had yourself, who's a hybrid athlete, listen, runs, Nick, not your conventional runner, big guy, maybe 210 pound. Mm. You had
Joey.
Obviously, Mitch was an out-and-out runner, one of the strong runners. You had Joey, who's a pilot, by the way, super cool guy.
Hybrid.
Yeah. Lauren, who's a runner but and owns a running shop in Texas.
Yeah, she's got three kids.
And they have Ken, who does endurance events.
Yeah.
And is a bit of a motivational businessman. So it was the team of misfits, and it tests your sort of camaraderie and your team bonding and how you can lift each other up to carry on going through it. And you definitely need it after that point.
Yeah, I think when we first saw you, I can't even remember it properly. I just remember like thrashing like around, trying to find clothes and pulling things out as soon as I got in that RV, down in those noodles. And we literally then had to leave you again. And that was really awful because it was for such a long period of time that we weren't with you guys in the RVs. Like we just had, obviously, one of the drivers of the Jeeps, someone with a camera who was doing the filming, obviously, in both. So it was four crew we had for that whole last stretch. And it was such a shame that the RVs couldn't go
off-road.
They could not go off-road. Like, no way.
And you want to be quick because you don't want to lose time through flapping around, do you? So it's straight on, straight off. And then when you go off into that bit, that's when another team was close by to you again.
Yeah.
Because you went running off that hill, there was another guy running up. So it's like, shit, competition kicks in again.
Yeah, so there was that team. They were a little bit ahead the whole way of the power line. They were a little bit ahead of us. And then you get to the last stretch where you have to come over this mad hill. And Joey and Lauren, bless them, did a lot of this hill segment because it was just up to their part. It just so happens. It depends where it falls. Like I had a lot of hills at the very start and Lauren and Joey had a lot of the hills near the end. But then we had a massive downhill section. And this is where strategy completely fell out the window. We were neck on neck with this other team. We'd caught them up. And we just kept switching people out. So I would switch out with Ken and Mitch because we were in a car together. And we started switching out every mile,
Is it in the truck still?
In the Jeeps, yeah. Going down, you were like down at the RVs parked here and we had, I don't know, 15 miles, like straight down this like dirt trail, sketchy on your feet. And we just started switching out every mile and sprinting. But the issue was, because it's four boys, two girls, when a guy was running, I was running. And when a girl was running, Mitch or Ken were running. So it was just back and forth for ages. And then we reached the bottom where you guys were and they went a different way. So I don't know if you saw their Jeep. They went off to the left and completely round. But essentially, like, they fucked it bad. Yeah. Like they ended up being an hour and a half behind us at the finish, which is mad because they were an amazing, amazing fast team. And we just, that's what it is. You plan your own route. You're following this thing, this little map, like on Strava, Garmin, whatever it is. And that just so happens you do one wrong turn and then they end up being an hour and a half and they were so close to Vegas as well.
I think that's the thing from my perspective that I really noticed about the whole event from watching Nick doing stuff on the laptop is it's just as much of, like a Duke of Edinburgh project in terms of your, what's it called when you're doing that kind of thing?
Orienteering.
You're orienteering. Thank you, Cal. And you're trying to navigate around different places that you don't know. So that becomes a big part of it, which again, super cool for a race because you usually set up, you know the course, you're sticking to it. There's a start, there's an end.
There's also no spectators, which is kind of one of their, like the speed projects, it's no rules, no spectators. And there isn't because it's just you, your team, your RVs, getting to Vegas. And what we were warned about, because we had to have these safety briefings before the event started. They were compulsory. You had to go to them. They mentioned the dogs. They mentioned that RVs can't trail runners. So you can't sit in the RV behind a runner.
Cops.
The police.
This is what I didn't understand. Explain that.
So the guys basically said to us, if the police come, you can't mention the speed project. You just need to say, oh, it's just me and a bunch of mates running to Vegas.
Sorry, who's buying that, by the way? Oh, we're just fucking, we got up this morning, I had my Cheerios, man. Should we run to Vegas?
Like they must know.
Yeah.
And we had one running in with a sheriff, that's what they're called, when we were on power lines. One of the Jeeps got a flat tire and it was just a fucking nightmare. they did sort it out. They changed it. But there was a sheriff in this massive van who you thought would have helped our broken down car. Bear in mind, we just had to carry on. So we had to just keep running. So our vehicle carried on and we just switched out miles between three of us. And the sheriff was just so unhelpful, like didn't care, didn't help them with anything. And that was kind of his job, which was really weird. But again, yeah, you can't mention that you're doing the speed project. You're just, you're with a group of mates and you're just on a run to Vegas. And at this point, we were only about 60 miles away or 40 miles away. So it was kind of fine to be like, yeah, we're just running to Vegas, not essentially from LA.
Death Valley.
Yeah.
That was the next part or the next segment.
For people who don't know, why is it called Death Valley, Luce?
It's so hot. But, I say it's hot.
What do the temperatures get up to, Carl?
52 degrees. It's the hottest recorded place on the planet. Nowhere except volcanoes gets hotter than Death Valley.
And that is exactly what I packed for. But do you know what happened, which is a complete fluke? A complete fluke. That I thought I'm going to come back gorgeously tanned. Fucking snowed.
It
snowed in Death Valley.
And it rained in Death Valley and Nevada Desert. So a lot of the pictures, it's grey, it's cloudy, it's gloomy. Now, we didn't hit snow. We finished, I'll tell you about the finish after, but we finished in a time that meant we, as we were doing this last 30, 40 miles into Vegas, it was raining and it was raining hard. Like the pictures are pretty cool because of that and it all. And you felt a bit like David Goggins. If you were further back on the route and it took you more than 40 hours, and if you were doing power lines, or even if you weren't doing power lines, this got really sketchy on the highway because you're running on the highway next to traffic, it was snowing. And we can add some pictures and videos. It was snowing in the desert and through Death Valley. And you just, apparently it was a complete fluke. And the hard thing is, most people have packed for 40 degree weather. They don't have trail shoes with them. Like it was really just shocking. Like I had to go and buy, because we checked the weather forecast before we set off, I had to go and buy jumpers and jackets from these random stores from abroad, because I was like, I am going to be absolutely freezing. Like it, which, yeah, the weather was just, it was really hot on the first day, wasn't it? Really hot.
Yeah, it was big. But that was beautiful as well, to be fair. Running out of LA, through California, some of the sights that you were seeing up until that point was, what a way to see America, by the way.
Oh, stunning. And then you enter wherever we entered, and it was rain, and we started to panic a bit. We really started to try and run quite fast because you could see the storm. You could see it in the desert, and we're like trying to run away from this horrible. The issue is, if you get stuck in the desert, a lot of the hills became quite steep and it was like traily sand. So the cars struggled to get up them anyway. So many people's jeeps and cars got stuck in the snow. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, that's the other thing, elevation, isn't it? You were, on that note, so unfortunate at the start of the race. By the way, we kept saying every segment that Lucy did, she had the segment with the most elevation. Everyone's like, I feel so sorry, because every time Lucy gets tagged in from the van, she's climbing these massive hills. So I felt sorry for you when you're running them, because you just hit, some people are getting out and it's like flat for 3 miles, and you're getting out and it was starting at the bottom of this big old climb to get to the top.
Yeah, I really struggled with that mentally, maybe because I hadn't done any hill training and it was in the back of my head. I knew it would be hilly, but I thought it would be just a few rolling hills, a little bit of elevation. There were two, you're probably thinking the exact same ones as me, two really specific segments near the start. It was just a hill. The whole thing was a hill. And Jeff, who was our coach, he actually got out, didn't he, of the RV or the van and ran with me, because I'm still trying to run at these 420 splits as fast as I can for the team. I was absolutely fucked. Like, I kept getting back in the van and I was just like really unsure of myself, because I thought my legs are really dead and nobody else seems as dead as me. Like, my hamstrings are really fried. Like, still now I'm getting massively like deep physio into the hamstrings, because they just, I've never, I don't know, it just this insane deep pain that I couldn't get rid of. Like, you were trying to massage them. Jeff was like, get your feet up, get in the boots, get your shoes off. Yeah, the hills shocked my system a lot.
Yeah, you had a top masseuse on board though.
You were a top masseuse. Ben was giving massages to both myself and Joey. Yeah. Because Joey had quite a stiff calf or Achilles.
Yeah, I massaged Joey like almost every break in the calf and stuff. To be fair, I was massaging two beautiful people, so I wasn't complaining.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But it was, you were incredible.
Like, I'm not arguing with you there.
The crew were just humble. Absolutely incredible though, because I've never had sleep deprivation like I'd experienced. I don't think any of us had. Like, you don't naturally stay away for 35 hours unless you're on drugs or something mad. I don't think I've ever even done an all-nighter. And I thought, like, I'm not that girl.
Lucy's like that girl who's like from the nunnery, isn't she? She's just like, I've never done an all-nighter.
I don't think I've ever done an all-nighter. It's just not my cup of tea. And I assumed we would be able to sleep in the RVs. You just couldn't. You were rocking around. There was noise happening. You know when you've kind of got in for a really hard run or you've trained in the evening and then you feel a bit unsettled?
Yeah.
It was like that for 35 hours. And I just kept trying to sleep and it just didn't work. So I gave up in the end.
Okay. We've been through Death Valley. It's cold. Where are we now? We're coming towards Vegas.
The Vegas sign. I didn't know what this looked like, by the way.
At this point, by the way, Jeff had found out that the team in front of you was a certain amount ahead and he was a really, really good running coach and he can almost calculate how fast people are running by looking at them. So he'd gone ahead of something in a truck, fair down, and calculated how fast that team was running and came back and said, this is the times you'll need to hit per mile to catch them before the end.
And they...
So that's, at this point, everyone's PBs. Gone. Okay. Everyone's just sending it for the next, what was it, 30 miles?
We had 40 miles to go. Do you remember? We kind of split off. So Nick, Lauren and myself.
Was it 40 miles or 30?
And Mitch. I think it was 40.
Either way, by the way, sending it for 30 to 40 miles, which is like 60 kilometers or 50 kilometers, it's another ultra. That's insane. Everyone's just smashing out mile PBs.
Yeah.
Joey hit a 5K PB or 3K PB. It's like, with 30 miles left of the race.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he hit a mile. That's because we were doing mile crazy. Segments. Yeah. We got off the trail, thank God, because I've never wanted to see a road so much in my life. And that was the plan. That was the new plan was we're sprinting into Vegas and we'd had these times calculated. And I was like, I cannot do sub-4 minute Ks. Like, I wasn't even trying to be negative. I just thought, that is mad. Like, we've just ran... By this point, maybe 65K each, 66K each, something mad.
280 miles, 300 miles, something like that.
But each person.
Yeah, but
maybe,
as a collective. Yeah,
yeah. And I was like, fucking hell, I'm just going to have to go for it. I thought, do I lie? Like, do I make up my times when I finish? I did the first one and I came in and I was just beside myself, wasn't I? I'd done a 402 split per K and I was like, this is shit. I was like, I can't do it, Jeff. I was like, I can't. And I was just gone. And Nick was like, calm down. You're fine. He's like, you don't need to sprint it. Mm-hmm. We're all there. We've got it. But this drive inside me, I was like, I can't let people down. The next one, 355. The next one, 350. The next one, 345. I don't know how. I still don't know how. I think it was just this mad. Do you know what it was though? Everyone kept coming in. Like Mitch was so, I think he was running like 250K, like 250 per K. Like they all base it off miles and I can't work out what that is. So I had my little converter up trying to figure out what everyone was doing. Lauren was smart. Nick, they were all just, we were sprinting. So when everyone was doing it, I thought, fuck it, I'm going to put everything into it. And it was raining and the Jeeps were there and they were filming and it was just like proper David Goggins.
It started raining.
Yeah, the rain, it was just so, we were so involved. And then the last mile, we all like floated in, like it wasn't a fast mile, but together we did the last mile to Vegas, to the sign. The way that you confirm that you have finished the race, there's this massive WhatsApp group. All the teams are in it. There's like 1,000 people in this WhatsApp group. I'm still in it and people are still chatting in it. And to let everyone know and the race organizers that you have finished, you have to post a picture in the WhatsApp group, and that is your official time. So from the 4 a.m. the previous day to when you post it, your official time is when you post that WhatsApp picture. Yeah.
So you all ran through under the Vegas sign celebrating, and some guy comes over in the middle of it and goes, "What are you doing? Like, we're all queuing up to get a photo in the Vegas sign." I said, "Mate, they just ran here from LA and they've been awake for 2 days. Just let them have a moment."
Yeah, he was.
And just shut up, Ben.
He didn't really understand, because I didn't know what the Vegas sign was. I've never been to Vegas, never experienced it. I was really confused why there was a massive queue of people there. I thought, what are they all doing? And then, yeah, we all stood there. We basically overtook it. We got this champagne out and we put it everywhere. And then this guy came in and was like, "What the fuck was going on?" I was like, "What? Why are you queuing for a sign with that picture? Like, we need to be posting our WhatsApp group." And understand it now.
What was your finish time?
35 hours and 34 minutes.
And where did you come?
4th OG group, 7th overall. Well done, team.
Sensational effort.
Yay!
And would you do it again?
100%. At the time, no, which is what you always say. And during, me and, do you know what? I'm really glad me and Joey were in the same RV, because me and Joey have got the same marathon time. And we were slower. Like, we were slower than, like, Mitch's marathon time is an hour quicker. All of the others do, like Nick does 2:39, Lauren does 2:54, Ken does 2:30. And me and Joey just kept joking after every rep, being like, "You fucked." I was like, "Yeah, same, me too." Like, it was quite nice to not feel so alone, because I thought I was the only one who was really, really tired. But Joey did so well. Yeah. And I feel we all put everything we could into it. I'd love to do it with the same team. Yeah. I think it would be weird to do it with a different team. It would feel, I don't know. We'd go back and want to beat the time.
Yeah,
and essentially,
it was so inspiring to watch you all do it and see all you guys just digging in, especially through some of the hard parts, and just how mentally strong you all were with just soldiering through it all. And no one complained. Everyone was just fucking boots to the ground. Got out, did your shift, got back in, and yeah, it was just really, really motivating and one in a million kind of thing to be able to watch that happened. It's just such a surreal thing to watch. And then afterwards, it was amazing as well. The first time we've ever been to Vegas, we went for food that night and then we all fell asleep for about 15 hours.
Yeah.
Then we got up and went to a pool party, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then we hung out with Joe and Mitch there in Vegas for a few days, did a bit of gambling on the tables, did a bit of playing around.
I did not gamble, by the way. I gambled Ben's money and lost everything.
But to be fair, one of the things that I did was I lost a couple of hundred quid on one of the blackjack tables, and I just took like 400 quid out and just put it on red and won it all back. I had a bit of gamble on the blackjack tables, lost all my money, went and got another 400 quid out, put it on red and doubled money. So I finished about
even. You broke even, didn't you?
Yeah.
But you were quite clever.
Vegas is a crazy place. I enjoyed it, but it was an experience, wasn't it?
It was a really interesting place, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, it was just so... We were the only ones who hadn't been before, because obviously we were the only UK people in the whole American team. I don't know what... It was so cool to experience Vegas. I thought it was amazing. I don't know if I'd go back in a rush.
I'd go back. But the first thing I saw was some woman walking towards me with nipple tape on with a big leather whip, and then walk past her and there's a Chucky doll running towards me, and then walk past that and there's a massive thing in a gorilla suit.
Kong.
Yeah, it was just crazy. It felt like I was on LSD. I was having to pinch myself, making sure that wasn't...
Fantastic, like grand. Every hotel is the grandest. You could spend a whole day, which you basically did, just looking at different hotels.
Yeah.
We were hotel spotting, and it was, do you know why? It was incredible. And then fully recorded for London Marathon.
Indeed. Come up soon. I think you've done a YouTube video on Speed Project as well, if people want to watch.
No, I've not. I've actually...
Some of the training for it, the week before and
stuff. Oh, yeah. I've done like bits of training and post-recovery I did. The reason I didn't want to do a whole video is because I feel like that's what the film is for and what BPN
so
are
you'll be
creating.
Able to watch that,
in June. We can't say when. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say when, but it will be on Nick's YouTube channel. It will really just encapsulate everything, hopefully, we've spoken about.
Just a quick question. If you were to run it again as a group, what kind of splits do you think you'd do? Do you think 5K, 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 2K, 2K, 1K, 1K is the... optimal? Or would you say like go for 1K splits from the get-go? What do you think?
I really would not enjoy doing 1 mile splits from the get-go. I just...
So what do you think it would be if you were to go again?
I think we'd do the exact... I think we'd probably do similar. I think we'd do 3, 2, 1 and we'd base it off that. I think the thing for us is we... Well, I know anyway, I'm not an elite runner. He hasn't picked me because I'm an elite runner. Nick's not an elite marathon runner. Like, well, to be, he's very fast. But I don't know if Nick wants to pick a team who is... You pick 2 hour 15 marathon runners for every single one. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think he's picked us for specific reasons, but I would quite like to just do the 3 miles, the 2 miles, but that's, the 1 mile segments again.
That's why I said when they were talking about doing it again and would they use the same team or like people talking about, oh, this person was in the team, it'd be quicker. I said to everyone, do you want to finish first or do you want to make the most noise?
Yeah.
No one gave it. No, everyone was asking on the lives and stuff and how your team was getting on. No one was asking how the team who finished first was. It's, do you want to finish first or do you want to make the most noise?
Who finished first? Do we even know the names?
No.
Exactly.
No, not. Do you know what? So much respect for them because I think they did it in like 30 hours, which is respectable. Like, wow, that is so fast. I think the record's 29 hours. Mm. So they just missed out by an hour. But I train so much harder for it. I don't think I didn't know what it was properly. So I think I can
experience.
I know what to do next year to train for, and hopefully those splits will be 4:10 or 4 minutes.
Indeed. And then you've got London Marathon coming up. There's a lot of other things going on. You're doing Geneva Marathon. I've got Berlin High Rocks this weekend after just finishing Malaga last weekend. So there'll be lots going on over YouTubes and podcasts over the next couple of weeks, especially yes. with some other guests involved as well.
Absolutely.
Quick one. Something launched on Friday, didn't it? Email Grabber.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, because it's already live and this podcast isn't live. The 12-week Till Summer My Coach Challenge waiting list is officially live. This is a challenge that we do every single year, and it's one that you guys look forward to. It's actually a week later than usual, and we were so surprised with how many of you have been like, excuse me, where is the 12-week Till Summer Challenge? The waiting list is live, and if you join the waiting list, it essentially means you can get 50% off your first month when enrollment opens. So keep your eyes peeled. Join the waiting list, even if you just want to see what it's all about and pop your email in and be notified. The challenges are incredible and it will give you that accountability and let you reach those goals that you've not yet achieved this summer.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be telling you more about that probably in the next couple of weeks as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. When the challenge actually starts on the 13th of May. Mm-hmm. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But for now, join the waiting list.
Yeah, make sure that you continue to like the videos that we pop on YouTube and the different places we distribute the podcast because it does help. Please make sure to subscribe to the different platforms that you listen to the podcast on. It definitely does help us with getting other guests on in the future as well. We've got some banging guests coming up and some that we're booking really into the future and some different destinations. And yeah, just make sure to continue to share it with other people who you think may be on a similar journey and may take some value or even just have a laugh once a week.
And we'll catch you next week.
Bye guys.